Welcome to episode 300 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. This is it, the end of our year-long study, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. For 250 episodes, we've explored books in the Old Testament and New. We've also come to the 300th episode of our podcast, which was launched last November. Thank you so much for your support, and we hope that you will not only continue to listen, but will tell others about us as well. And please check out our bonus episode, which will be released later today, a special Christmas episode for the whole family. We hope you enjoy it. Now let's wrap up our study of the book of Revelation. The prologue to the book of Revelation concludes with these words in Revelation 1, verses 7 to 8. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. These verses point to the true focus of the whole book, the return of Jesus in power and glory. Christ's promise to come again is reiterated three times in the conclusion of the book. In Revelation, the second coming of Christ is the end point toward which history moves. The second coming will mark the conclusion of the world's history and the beginning of God's eternal kingdom, as well as freedom from all evil, anguish, pain, and death. Almost 2,000 years have passed since Jesus gave the promise of his coming. These words encouraged the early Christian believers. They comforted believers during the Dark Ages, during periods of revival and reformation. Are we still excited about what is to come? Are we still living in anticipation of this promise? God's timing is not our own. In his time, he will fulfill his word. We cannot lose hope now. We cannot give in to doubts now. We cannot falter now. As one writer puts it, a little longer and we shall see the King in his beauty. A little longer and he will wipe all tears from our eyes. A little longer and he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. A promise is only as strong as the integrity of the person giving it and his or her ability to fulfill it. How does the fact that the promise of the second coming has been given by God, who has kept all his promises in the past, provide you with assurance that Christ will return as he has promised? The organizational structure of Revelation is in many ways crucial for responsible application of the book's prophecies. Revelation chapters 1 to 3 employs the situation of the churches of John's day to prophetically address the situation of the church in different periods of history. Revelation chapters 4 to 11 repeats or recapitulates and build on the history of the church using apocalyptic symbols that add progressively more detail. Revelation chapters 12 to 14 provide the thematic center of the book and span the history of the conflict between good and evil from before the time of Jesus to the second advent. Revelation chapters 15 to 22 focus exclusively on the end time. For the bulk of its 66 books, the Bible portrays a world deep in the throes of suffering. Human beings have had a problem with sin since the fall in Genesis 3, and verse after verse has recorded our problem in painstaking detail. The brilliance of Revelation is that it provides a final answer to this problem, a hope that Jesus will once and for all heal the wounds wrought by sin, reign for 1,000 years on earth, and then recreate the world into a place that represents God's original design. The Bible's narrative is a simple one: creation, fall, recreation. Without the completion of the redeeming work of Jesus recorded in Revelation, we wouldn't have the end of the story, leaving our hope for the future in serious doubt. Usually when people mention the book of Revelation, they immediately think about judgment. And without a doubt, much judgment occurs in the book. However, Revelation does not end with judgment. Instead, it provides a striking bookend for the entire Bible, which begins in paradise and ends in paradise. More than judgment on the evildoers, Revelation is a book about hope for the faithful in Christ. A good way to think about Revelation is to think about what it reveals about Christ. 1. Jesus is introduced in Revelation 1 as the exalted heavenly high priest, officiating inside the heavenly sanctuary, wearing his Day of Atonement white linen robes. 2. In Revelation 4-5, he is the slaughtered lamb, a composite of all sanctuary sacrifices, whose blood is offered inside the heavenly most holy place, indicating again John's dependence on the Day of Atonement and sanctuary themes. 3. In Revelation 7 and 14, the saints come into focus wearing priestly robes as they worship before his throne, indicating purification by the Lamb's Day of Atonement blood. 4. Day of Atonement intercession at the altar of incense protects the followers of the Lamb from the judgment to be unleashed on unrepentant humanity. 5. Jesus is the rider of the white horse in Revelation 19, whose white linen high priestly robe is sprinkled with his own Day of Atonement sacrificial blood. 6. Jesus' Day of Atonement sacrifice and heavenly ministry, begun at the cross and ascension, precede the judgment of Satan and his minions. 7. The New Jerusalem, square as the most holy place, is where priestly saints who wash their robes live, worship, and reign with Jesus, the heavenly high priest, forever and ever. God wins through the death of Christ. Those who follow him win too. Revelation 21, verses 4-5. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. We can trust this declaration. Jesus will make all things new for those who win with him in this cosmic conflict. Behold, I make all things new is a truth anticipated from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, God gave glimpses of this promise as he meted out judgment on sin and promised the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah declared that salvation is found in God alone and that he will certainly judge sin. And in Isaiah 65 verse 17, he prophesies of the new heaven and earth. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. This sinful, depraved world is not God's ultimate destiny for those who trust in him. And we, like Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, long for the time when God will bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Decay, destruction, death, and evil are all part of our lives on this earth. Even nature groans to be delivered from the curse. Yet Jesus' declaration, Behold, I make all things new, affords the hope that one day we will be free from the consequences and effects of sin and will live with him in a new heaven and earth. Father, we hope that the truth that you will make all things new will enable us to live with eager expectation, seeking to know Jesus more, become more like him, and make him known. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.